It's Morning Edition on Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Clay Masters. We're continuing our series of conversations with Democratic presidential candidates ahead of the first in the nation Iowa caucuses. Today, businessman Andrew Yang. My co-host of the IPR podcast Caucusland, Kate Payne, and I spoke with him Friday evening before an event he had in Perry. Yang is best known for his pitch for universal basic income, where he'd give every American $1,000 a month. We started by asking him why he's hung so much on this issue.
Well, here in Iowa, people have seen 40,000 manufacturing jobs get blasted away over the last number of years, and many of those towns have never recovered. What happened to those jobs is now happening to retail jobs as 30% of the state's stores and malls close. And so we have to look up and say we're in the midst of the greatest economic transformation in the history of our country, the fourth industrial revolution, and we need to rewrite the rules to work for our people. And that's what the universal basic income, the freedom dividend, would allow us to do, putting $1,000 a month into the hands of every American starting at age 18 until the day you expire. This would help all Americans be able to make more effective transitions in a time of unprecedented change.
Would that change with, like, inflation? I mean, how would $1,000, I mean, would that be consistent year after year?
It would rise with inflation of a core basket of consumer goods. So it would be $1,000 in year one, probably something like $1,020 in year two.
And so today, as we're speaking, it's the day after President Donald Trump ordered the killing of the top Iranian commander, General Soleimani. What's been your initial reaction to that killing?
That it's an unfortunate outcome that should have been avoided by never pulling out of the multilateral nuclear agreement with Iran. I mean, after we pulled out of that agreement, we've had a whole series of provocations back and forth, culminating in this latest attack that threatens to escalate the tensions and even armed conflict in the region. The vast majority of Americans want nothing to do with war with Iran. And the fact that President Trump has potentially precipitated this conflict is a disaster for American foreign policy. It's a disaster for our men and women in our bases and embassies abroad. This is the latest example of why we need to get Donald Trump out of the Oval Office.
And how would you approach foreign policy as a president then? Because it's not something that comes to mind when people might think of your campaign.
The next commander-in-chief has to have a sense of the greatest threats of this time, which to me include climate change, artificial intelligence and cybersecurity, loose nuclear material. We need to rebuild our partnerships and alliances abroad and invest in diplomacy and stop being as maximalist with our foreign policy goals. We spent over $1 trillion in Iraq, $6 trillion in the Middle East. Much of that could have been better spent making our communities stronger and healthier here at home. So my foreign policy will be guided by a different set of priorities and be much more judicious and restrained.
And so that being said, still, if you were to become the nominee, you would be inheriting whatever world this president leaves behind. At this point, it seems like a world where we're now sending more troops into the Middle East in the immediate wake of this killing. I mean, how would you start building your team to prepare for this situation?
Well, the last poll I saw said that 78% of Americans were against war with Iran. As president, that is the direction I would lead. I would say, look, mistakes were made under the previous administration, and let's see how we can de-escalate conflict and tensions to a point where we're not at war.
You were the last candidate to qualify for the December debate. How do you do well in Iowa if you're not on that debate stage here in Des Moines later this month?
Iowans are really smart, where they're paying attention to what's going on in their communities every day, and they can see who's spending time with them. They can do more than just turn on the TV for one debate. They can figure out who's in the field and who wants to improve their way of life and the way of life of their kids and their families. I fully expect to be on that debate stage, though. As soon as they run some polls in the early states, you'll see that our support has grown well beyond that threshold. But I don't think Iowans care as much about the debate as perhaps the cable networks might suggest.
And so you're one of the few candidates of color at this point who's made it this far in this race. And I'm curious, you know, do you think because of that result, do you think that this overall nomination process is flawed?
I think that Iowans and voters in New Hampshire have highly developed political cultures that would be very, very hard to substitute for. I don't have a problem with the process in terms of the nominating order. Iowa enabled Barack Obama to become our president. I believe that Iowans can see beyond any narrow definition of identity towards what someone's vision for the country is and how they would lead us forward.
And so you say you don't particularly have an issue with the nominating order. Do you have an issue with the Iowa caucus process itself?
Well, get back to me on February 4th. No, I'm kidding. you know, I think it rewards passion and activism. It rewards people that are willing to publicly champion their candidate to their friends and neighbors. I love the history behind the caucus process and the high commitment level. I believe it will reward our campaign on February 3rd because we have among the most passionate and activated supporters in the field of any candidate.
Historically, this process, though, has also rewarded, you know, shown up Iowa caucus goers who are overwhelmingly whiter, older, more educated, more wealthy. Is that a problem?
Well, certainly I'm for processes that make it easier to participate, particularly socioeconomically. One of the things I would do is give everyone Election Day off as a holiday because that makes it a lot easier for people to vote and participate. But again, the history of the caucus process is really well established, and I believe that there's a lot of diversity in viewpoints that results from the current process that, again, transcends some narrow demographic. If you got a group of older, white, educated voters together, they could have completely different viewpoints.
That's Democratic presidential candidate and entrepreneur Andrew Yang talking with my co-host of Caucusland, Kate Payne, and me. You can hear more of this conversation on an upcoming episode of the IPR podcast Caucusland, which you can find wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or you can listen online at iowapublicradio.org. This is Morning Edition on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Clay Masters.